It's March 19, 2015. This is a Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. I will go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 5027. And first, we'll start off with Director Rue, and then we'll turn it over to Kathy Connolly. So,
Co-Chair Rayfield, members, thank you. We are down to two slides. The first one that we have is slide, I have it as 45, it's 46 on the screen. Just in terms of vacancies, we talked a little bit over the last couple of days about how we've been trying to make an intentional move from administrative costs and people and move it to program. So for we I don't know how long ago now, probably 2 years ago, stopped filling a receptionist position. We moved our office reception so that, in fact, my executive assistant and a now new support person, this OS2, cover that. So we've just filled that one. As we told you yesterday, we no longer have a procurement position. We buy that service from Water Resources. And we've had a very difficult time filling an ISS4, a general support person. We have reason to believe that there's an announcement that just ended, and we've got a decent group of people to choose from. But the bottom line is we've only had these three vacancies. Now, for us, you know, that's 3 out of 60, that's 5%. But generally, we've done a pretty good job of staying fully employed. And then moving on quickly to supplemental items, position new hires, those that are hired above step two. This one is interesting because we I'm looking at a list of 9 people, and not one of them is at step two. We cannot seem to find people that we can hire at that level. Of the 9, only one came to us from the state of Oregon. Everybody else came either from out of state or from local government, and local governments, we find, pay significantly more for comparable work than does the state of Oregon. So when we hire somebody from Lake Oswego or Wilsonville or Hillsboro or elsewhere, we have to make fairly significant match above step two just to get them to where they have been, let alone give them a small increment of a boost when they come to work for us. So that sheet is under tab A of your booklet. And I guess then the very last thing that I would say is that we do not have an other fund ending balance. We have talked a couple of times in the last couple of days. Our other fund, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, goes from 900 and something thousand down to 400,000. That is simply removing unused other fund limitation that came to us sometime in the last biennium because we thought we were going to get a coastal grant, a research grant from University of San Diego or San Diego State. Did not happen, but we had already come to you to ask for that limitation. So we've just asked that it be removed. We do not carry funds over. So with that, unless there are any questions, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure the last 2+ days.
Any questions? Okay, with that, we'll turn it over to Ms. Connolly.
You should already be loaded.
Oh, we'll sit here for Kathy. Sorry, I don't need that.
Slideshow.
Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, I'm Kathy Connolly with the Chief Financial Office. And I'd just like to give you a brief summary of the Department of Land Conservation and Development's governor's budget. On the issue of emerging, the agency's emerging issues, I'd just like to point out that the agency, this agency and a number of natural resource agencies have mentioned their participation in an interagency work group to enter into an organized discussion about sharing of administrative services. And you've probably already noticed that there's that natural resource program area departments already share a lot of services on an ad hoc basis. They just work it out between themselves. So there's kind of two things going on here at the same time, and we anticipate that the kind of ad hoc sharing will continue and this work group will continue. And if there is an organized sort of program that comes out of it, or we will address that with the committee. I just point out that this budget strongly aligns with the 10-year plan for healthy environments vision to conserve and restore natural habitats and build strong sustainable communities. With regard to the agency's expenditure history, again, this just summarizes what the agency has already told you. You see they are very responsive to general fund and federal revenues fluctuations, and therefore in the 11-13 budget you see their general fund much lower, and actually if you look a couple of biennia before that you see it reducing also. But now there's been a gradual increase as there's more general fund available. In particular, the $500,000 devoted to planning grants for local communities is responding to that. With regard to their federal funds, we're mostly talking about federal emergency management funds and the Coastal Zone Management Act. Those fund both staffing and grants to local communities. With regard to investments, I'd just like to address a couple of them. The agencies really described them to you in good detail. The information systems modernization, historically, just a little history on that, this agency actually began that process about 3 years ago, doing phase one within the agency, working towards what they wanted to develop. They came to the legislature in the 13-15 biennium, asked for funding for the entire project. The legislature funded phase two and phase three, asked them to come back and report on their progress to the legislature, which they did, I think, in the 2014 session. Legislature, you know, sort of blessed the report, and they've moved forward. And now they are coming to you with the funding for phase four and phase five. And I guess for me that's important because it is, you know, it's sort of a holistic it is new funding. At the same time, this is actually finishing out a project that has gone on for some time and is really the culmination. And, you know, so often we begin funding something and we don't finish it, and then you really lose the benefit of that activity. And so I would just point that out. With the new staffing and resources for the Working Forests and Farms Initiative, with that, I would just point out that a lot of those are LD positions, and that's pretty common in the natural resource area. Very often when we start new programs, almost always the positions are limited duration, which allows the legislature to see how the programs are moving forward and make a decision in the next biennium. So, you know, with regard to successive programs and the need to monitor those, I would just point that out to the legislature. But with regard to the details, like I say, I think the agency's done a good job of letting you know what's in those packages. And with that, unless you have any other questions, I'm done.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to public testimony. Thank you. All right, and we'll call up Ralph Groner and Eric, looks like a collar, something like that. You can tell me when you get up here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for getting me on early. I've got another budget I have to testify on. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner, representing Oregon Ask Me Council 75, and I'm here to testify in support of DLCDC. And just a comment, Julie ran off on me. I'm from West Lynn, and Julie Parrish lives there now. And in the Oregonian, there was a nice story about how she's been doing homework on how to make the Senator Hansel's party more votable by the public. And so she's been going through history. I just like to make a comment, since Mr. McPherson is here. When I served in the 73 legislature, I was assigned off the Environment and Land Use Committee on the subcommittee chair. And I had the wonderful opportunity to carry Senate Bill 100 on the floor of the House. And I had the wonderful opportunity of bipartisan support when Senator Hector McPherson sat by me, because I was young and quite frankly didn't understand agriculture, as Representative Clem and Senator Hansel. I'm trying to brag on everybody I can, but I'm not doing a good job of it. But I did carry the bill. I want you to know it was interesting. Hector McPherson, Senator, was on one side of me to answer questions. I couldn't. And then very liberal, I don't want to frighten anyone to leave, Senator Ted Halleck sat on the other side from Portland, agreeing with this issue. Tom McCall and his staff were on the right. I wanted Julie to know that the legislature in those days, quite frankly, including Senator Hansel's uncle, Senator Johnson's father, Sam, and I look back at, and I sat by Norma Paulus, Dave Frohmeyer, 75 session, and I look at the legislature, my God, they were in fact very progressive. The Republican Party was, and the Democratic Party had just taken control in 73, but they both reminded me of each other. I don't want you to think that they were separated the way it's grown today. So hopefully my message is, we've got to work together to get any of these things accomplished, and I try to do that, and I know you do. Let me just say that as to the budget, the only issue that hits me in the head, I'm big on water storage. I got in trouble a couple, I think, before, yes, you weren't here yet. I made the right decision to publicly support on three or four testimonies water storage by Eastern Oregon underground storage. The chair of the Senate Environment Committee went to the governor, Senator Kulongoski, and had him call my boss, Ken Allen, for what was Ralph Groner doing, supporting winter runoff of the Columbia being stored. My boss said, shove it. What Ralph decides, I back. I'm sorry, but I'm happy. I'm still here. I look at that issue as one of the reasons I heard the director testify to yesterday, I believe it was. I sat through, they weren't boring to me. Talking about the cooperative arrangement between the Water Resources Bureau, I have DEQ, Department of, a number of these agencies are my budgets. And then I think where I live, similar problem that Eastern Oregon has in agriculture, or will have one of these days, maybe now. I live in Oregon City. West Lynn, Oregon City, and Gladstone have Tri-City water. Our water comes off Mount Hood. So does Salem. Same snowpack goes into Multnomah County. My water districts come to me, and I'm not a representative anymore, and say, Ralph, will you help us? We have a storage problem. I knew Clackamas County did, and then I found out they couldn't underwater it, store it. And if we don't get at the issue cooperatively of water storage, we're going to suffer, and our generations to come will suffer. That's my top priority, and it ought to be everybody's. And the fact of the matter is, we already have problems in some of our Eastern Oregon counties. Headlines. California, I know you just read, turned the water off to agriculture. I'm sorry to say that. It's going to impact all of us. So one of the reasons I care so much about DLCD and Water Resources Board and DEQ is because they've got to sit down and tackle the big problems with you, because you are probably more knowledgeable at your local level, listening to your own farmers, et cetera, your own constituents, than the agency. So my only message is, yes, DLCD's budget needs all the support it can get. I've been around this thing now 42 years. Fortunately, Hector's son is here, and I feel honored that he's here. The fact of the matter is we've got to require all of us parties to work together, but also our agencies to work together and show you they are, because we have terrible, terrible problems right now, but facing us in the future. And the only way we can resolve them is working cooperatively. That's my only message. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's get this name right.
Follow. So, for the record, Eric Kanzler, representing City of Bend, also a resident of the City of Bend. Drove out here special this morning. I was out presenting before City Council last night, but this is an important issue for us that warranted a special trip back to the Capitol before week's end. As many of you may know, the City of Bend has been going through an urban growth boundary expansion process. We're in a remand portion of that process. And UGB expansions in this state are incredibly difficult. They're very complex. They balance a lot of factors. And we need help in processing that and knowing how to pursue it in a constructive fashion. The agency has been there every step of the way here with us working on this remand. And their help has been instrumental. And when I think about the agency's budget and the various tasks that they have to perform, the balancing act that they have to perform, administering the state's land use system, working with local governments and all these different interested parties that have so many varied perspectives, it just strikes me as a tremendous job that needs to be accomplished, and they do admirable work. So we're here, I'm here, in strong support of funding the agency's needs, certainly the governor's recommended budget and what's already in there for them, as well as to encourage you to consider, in particular, funding the UGB components of what they do, and taking into consideration the fact that not only are there a handful of cities that are going to be going through very arduous processes, there is a new via House Bill 2254 in the 2013 session, a rulemaking process going forward. There's going to be need to complete the rulemaking process. There's going to be applications that cities need to be guided through. Eventually, there's going to be applications that needed to be decided upon. And so their tasks are considerable going forward. And we'd like to make sure that the budget that moves forward not only addresses their needs broadly, but in particular addresses their ability to help their local government partners in cities like Bend make sure that we have the assistance that we need to address the issues that are important to us that the UGB expansion touches on. You may also know the City of Bend at present has about 0.25% vacancy rate on rental housing. There's any number of reasons for that, and there's any number of solutions. One of the solutions is making sure that we have a expeditious path to increasing our land supply, working on multifamily housing and a variety of other opportunities, and getting our expansion passed is a crucial component of that. So again, thanks for the opportunity to testify, and we urge your strong support for the agency's needs.
Yeah, thank you. Senator Hansel.
Thanks for your testimony. In what capacity do you represent the City of Bend? It might be good for the record.
For the record, I'm the city's lobbyist.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We'll call up Mark Nystrom and Aaron Doyle.
We talked. I'll go first. Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the subcommittee, for the record, I am Aaron Doyle with the League of Oregon Cities. And we are here in support of the DLCD budget. While sometimes there is distinct tension between local government and DLCD, we find that they're becoming better and better partners. We'd like to continue those efforts at working together to create a land use system that is workable, functional, faster, more efficient, and I think that the department has that goal as well, and in many ways are becoming the technical assistance that we need on a regular basis and becoming more and more open to consultation with us by being available out in the field. And those efforts that the department have made have been very much appreciated at the local level and is working very hard to keep that coordination going, especially between DLCD and the League, coordinating to get DLCD staff out in front of especially our smaller cities throughout the state. In particular, within the budget for DLCD, I wanted to hit on a couple of things that are of great importance to cities. And the first and most obvious is the general grants fund. Not only do we does that fund provide specific money set aside for our smaller communities that might not otherwise have a planning budget, but for the easily accessible grants, many of our larger projects might not be accomplished without the technical assistance grants and the working with the department that, that those grants get us. There are many different ways in which that general fund grant can be flexed to do the best work, the most important work, and as a lucky member of the advisory committee for the general fund grants as well, we get to set the priorities that are near and dear to the local communities that are applying for these grants. And one of the ways we're looking for more assistance within those dollars is for the natural hazard planning, which is becoming increasingly obvious an area of need. As I was driving down here, stuck in my car, the news was about the one-year anniversary of the Oso landslide. We'd like to avoid anything of that level through good planning and making sure we're not developing in areas that might potentially someday slide downhill. So those grants are very important for those reasons, and expanding those grants to look at natural resources amongst all the other economic development and other priorities that are placed on those grants is very important. So that POP in particular puts us at a better level of funding to provide even more assistance to even more communities. One of the things that the department discussed during its presentation is the new look at housing that's going on within the department and how we can use the land use system to better develop all types of housing. Housing is close to crisis or in crisis across this state. There isn't a community that isn't looking at their housing inventory and saying, well, that we have enough. And I think work with the department and their work with other state agencies to look at how the land use system can impede or assist in that program will be very helpful. And then providing the guidance to local governments on how to best approach housing need to match their community is very important. And we're excited to work with them on those projects. Natural hazard planning, another goal of the state land use system and another important area where we need the technical assistance that this department and other departments throughout the natural resources agencies provide to our cities. We're trying to avoid having to bow to 17 different masters when it comes to natural hazard planning and natural hazard mitigation. And I think the department is doing a strong job to kind of look comprehensively at the resources that the state has, the tools, the science, the expertise, and find a way to work with local governments through the department to actually do that planning and that mitigation planning to make sure that if disaster strikes or when disaster strikes, we are prepared and we're in the best situation to both survive and thrive afterwards. While TGM isn't a directly part of the DLCD budget, they do have staff that they provide to that program. It's a program that's very important to us as well because it's where transportation and land use planning meet. And they provide technical assistance, direct assistance, grant assistance all through that program. And we're happy that the staff continues to work so comprehensively or so well between DLCD and ODOT. As the chair of that advisory committee, I do a lot of committees apparently. We know how important that program is to providing funding across the state to look at how traffic planning, how designing a road can have a real impact on what the economic development of an area can be. And the staff time that DLCD puts into that program is vital to getting the best resources and the best practices out to our local governments. Quickly on the policy option packages, 101 being the general fund grants, very important to us, but also important to us are many of our local governments are, in fact, 104 with the ME program, 106, which is about the environmental greenhouse gas reductions. More and more of our cities, both in MPOs and outside of MPOs, are concentrating on that, the impacts that planning can have on that, and we're excited to help and support that from the department. And 107 related to natural hazard planning, that technical assistance is vital. We don't have scientists on staff in cities. You know, some of them may be paid really well, but some of them do everything also. And so having that technical expertise and work with the department is very important. And finally, I just wanted to touch on some of the ongoing projects that cities and DLCD have been working on. Obviously, the UGB expansion gets talked about a lot. The work that was put in 2013 to start the process of rulemaking has led to an ongoing, comprehensive, very broad discussion of the UGB rules. The department has worked really hard to create the best base of knowledge and make sure that all of the stakeholders are invested in that project. And we're excited to finish those rules by the end of this year and have a more streamlined system. We're hoping at the end of that process, and cities that might be able to take advantage of it quickly that can get through the process and prove up that we did something that really fundamentally meets the needs of the state land use system, but also of the local communities. In the, we just finished up population forecasting, which would point out that funding source is actually our general grants funds. So a piece of that money gets taken off the top to do something that cities and counties agreed was vital. And we gave up our grant funding in order to take care of that. That program's, we hope, going to be very successful and in the long term show that good math can lead to good results. Math is hard, and I've met more demographers than I knew existed, and it's very complicated, so it's been a lot of fun. And then finally, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different members of the department staff to talk about other ways in the long term through their strategic plan we can look at how the land use planning system places local government and the state in conflict and how we can resolve those conflicts. And I think that this department is working really hard to mitigate those conflicts and find ways to be a solution and not just that agency out there. And because he's in the room now, I think any work group going forward related to land use should include John Chandler. Other than that, I have nothing further, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Mr. Nystrom.
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. Mark Nystrom, I represent the Association of Oregon Counties and the Association of County Planning Directors. Rather than echo a lot of the things that Aaron said, I'll just touch on a few things that I think are really important for the counties. General grant funds, again, are something that we really value. Eight of the smallest counties get $3,500 each. Again, like Aaron was saying, a lot of these small counties wouldn't have much of a planning department without this funding. In the 2013-15 biennium, four counties received technical assistance grants totaling $77,000. We'd like to see that funding continue. These are, again, important projects that wouldn't get done without help from DLCD. Again, other grants that we work with, the Transportation Growth Management, again, not coming from DLCD, but they contribute valuable staff time, and we really appreciate that help. Another area that we really value is the technical support that we receive. There's been a model farm forest multi-county code project that has been going on. So the idea is that some of these smaller counties don't have the staff time to just develop code for themselves. So DLCD has been coordinating these smaller counties working together to develop a model code that they can adopt into their local code. And we appreciate that. There's been several ongoing rule advisory committees that have been really important for the counties. First and foremost, the sage-grouse planning that's going on. I believe that they're having their a next meeting tomorrow. It hasn't been an easy process. We haven't, our counties haven't always agreed with the everything that's been going forward, but we're working really hard together, and in everyone's appreciative of the process. While we may not always see eye to eye on everything, we do really appreciate the efforts that are going forward. We also participate in the population forecasting. That was, I would agree with Aaron, it was an interesting process, and it was really fun to hear how excited some people get about this stuff. And then we're also working on a primary processing of forest products work group right now. That's been another interesting process to see how passionate people get about those particular issues. But overall, the Association of Oregon Counties has really appreciated Director Rue and his staff about how much they've been willing to work with us and how valuable the relationship between the counties and the agency is.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Well, with that, thank you very much. And we'll move on to Andy Shaw and Paul Lynch.
Sorry, I thought it was late.
Coach Rayfield and subcommittee members, Andy Shaw. I'm the chief of staff to the council president at Metro. I'm here in place of Randy Tucker, our lobbyist, here to speak in support of the department's budget. The department is essential to an effective and efficient land use system and program in Oregon. They play a critical role in helping local communities and citizens plan for growth and development while also protecting our natural environment and promoting a high quality of life. In the metro area, we expect very strong growth in population and employment over the next 20 years or so, and we really need the department to be an effective partner as we work to plan for that growth. The department provides many different levels of support for Metro and our cities and counties. Technical advice and assistance on major projects, for example, the Willamette Falls Legacy Project that we're working on with Oregon City, Clackamas County, and the state. We'll open up the falls there to public access, provide needed development in Oregon City, and the department's helped to fund the redevelopment work around that site. The department also plays a major role in all of the planning activities that we engage in, our regional transportation update, urban growth management decisions that we make periodically. In that, they play really a couple different roles, a coordination function with us, but also helping to interpret state rules and state law along the way so that we're not getting hung up on things at the end of the process when we go to the state to seek approval of major decisions like urban growth boundary and urban reserve designations. In addition, we are charged under state law with developing a plan for reducing emissions in the metropolitan area over the next 20 years, and the department's played a key role all along the way, as previous testifiers have mentioned, in working with us to help develop a very comprehensive look at how we grow and yet reduce emissions at the same time by how we plan our communities. The department's been very helpful in helping us craft a response to the state mandate around reducing emissions that meets all the state requirements, but also meets the goals of our local governments for how they grow and develop. Of course, they've worked very closely with us on our urban growth management decision-making process, which, as previous testifiers said, is a very complicated process. In the metro region, we do our own population and employment forecasting. We actually have a lot of folks who on our staff who are the kind of people that really enjoy looking at projections and predicting population growth. Just lastly, the department's grant programs are modest, but they're very important to local governments. We often couple their grants with our community planning and development grant program to help local communities plan for things like code streamlining, targeting local economic development, and infrastructure finance planning. These are critical resources for communities to plan for growth and development in our area. With that, we'll just close by saying we support the budget and urge you to provide appropriate funding for the agency.
Thank you. Ms. Lynch.
Good morning. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League of Women Voters is a grassroots, nonpartisan political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government. The League first studied land use in 1959 and has been active in supporting our statewide land use planning program with local implementation. And I emphasize that because it is very critical to the League. We believe that Goal 1 requires open access to the land use process and that all citizens have a stake in the development of their communities. The League believes this department is critical to the health and well-being of Oregonians. As we plan our cities and counties, we are deciding where we live, where we work, where we shop, where we play, and how we get there. It is not some esoteric kind of thing. Land use planning really means something. I was really pleased to see, again, the slide 3 that you saw in their presentation that links all of the different things that have to do with how we plan our communities. Planning determines the kind of infrastructure. It assures we have natural areas and that we have not only economically vital agricultural and forest lands, but lands for industrial use, other industrial uses. I want to say the League is proud to have been a part of the many voices that helped assure that our current vineyard lands on the hills around the Willamette Valley were ready for the relatively new agricultural use back in the 1970s. And I bring that up because it's really important to note we need to remember the future, that today's crops, today's use of land may not be tomorrow's use, but we need to treasure that land and make sure we have it there for future uses. You've heard the importance of local government grants. We support POP 101 because, frankly, it helps pay for public engagement in local communities. However, we are not supportive of POP 109 that would add 2 new alignment coordinators to be housed in the governor's office. We have a statewide program with local implementation. Instead of adding these positions and a lead person directly in the governor's office budget, we recommend that this committee and others address the very serious need for local government funding, including addressing the funding challenges and the unequal taxation that has been created by property tax measures 5 and 4750. We need to get back to local implementation with a statewide land use planning program. We support the data project. It is critical to have good data to make good policy decisions. We want to make sure that DLCD has enough money in the Attorney General's budget to take care of issues where a particular issue is not addressed appropriately, to make sure that we have our statewide land use planning program and that it is upheld. It is a complaint-driven program, frankly, and so it's important for the Attorney General's budget, or for us, the DLCD, to have the Attorney General's. We support POP 106 and the Metro Planning Organization. We were a part of that discussion when it first occurred, and we continue to support that. We are seeing the other Metro, the other MPOs throughout the state beginning to really take exciting action based on the good work that Metro did to begin with this, and we would like to see that funding continue. You have heard about the natural hazards issue. We continue to be supportive of House Bill 2633 related to rulemaking. We believe it's really important that POP 107 occurs so that the department has staffing to be able to work on this very, very important public safety issue around the state. We understand the importance of SageCon to our Eastern Oregon economic vitalization, so POP 108 makes sense. Lastly, there's been a whole lot of discussion about the regional solutions teams during their presentation. We continue to follow the program as it expands and has increasing influence around the state. Our focus has been assuring that Oregon citizens know about the program. The Regional Solutions Advisory Committee membership and the meetings, and assuring that there is a provision for public comment as these committees set regional priorities and expend state money and staff time on regional projects. We support the Regional Solutions teams because it's great when agencies work together to find common solutions. And we were pleased to hear that not only is this department now doing shared services with the Department of Ag, and it sounds like ODF&W, but with water resources. Those are good policies and allow us to have monies for these other POPs that you are talking about, and we understand that. But we are very concerned about the regional advisory committees, because they are doing priority setting oftentimes without a full community discussion, and state monies and staff are expended without full legislative oversight. So thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Seeing none, thank you very much. We'll call up Heidi Bell and the Honorable Greg McPherson.
Okay, very good. Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the subcommittee, I'm delighted to be back in the Capitol with some of my old colleagues from my service in the building, and thank you much for your service. I now serve as the chair of the Oregon Land Conservation and Development Commission, so I work closely with this department, and I'm here to support their budget because their good work is essential to the effectiveness of our commission and the statewide land use planning program. I think the theme that you've heard already from some of the other presenters is that this is a partnership between the department and our commission on the one hand and local governments. We couldn't get this program operated as nearly as effectively without the strong participation of our local governments where most of the planning work is done. So really the role of this department is to assist through technical assistance and advice and grants the good work that's done out in our cities and counties and regional governments. In aid of that effort, this department supports the traveling of our commission around the state to hold meetings. We've held meetings in recent years in Burns, Portland, Coos Bay, Eugene, McMinnville, Ontario, Tillamook. Later this year, we'll be going to Astoria and Medford and a site yet to be determined out in sage-grouse country to consider the rulemaking process that we have ongoing for the interface with the sage-grouse habitat. We also have, through the department, field representatives who are located around the state and who are in a very important part of the interface with local governments. And one of the things that's a sort of happy experience we have on the commission is when we travel, we find local officials who, even when they disagree with aspects of our program, will invariably comment about the very effective assistance they get from the field representatives that they, from the department that interact with them. I was happy to hear Eric Kantler's remarks here earlier from the city of Bend because that's been one of our ongoing projects for our commission and the support we get from the department. It started nearly a decade ago when the city of Bend undertook an urban growth boundary expansion process at a time when they had been experiencing explosive growth, and their initial cut at it was a proposal of some 8,000 acres to be added, about a 40% increase in the Bend urban growth boundary. That came to our commission in 2010, and I don't need to remind you what the world looked like in 2010 with the collapse of the real estate market, and it was particularly it had hit Central Oregon hard. So we spent several days in hearings in Bend going through that proposal, identified a number of points that needed to be reevaluated, and then remanded it to the city. And they took that guidance very seriously and undertook a new process that, by all indications, is proceeding very effectively to reevaluate a lot of the assumptions, to look at new trends in urban development that could be more efficient in the use of land, and they made a report to us at our recent commission meeting indicating that they expect the new submission to be maybe a third or less of the amount of the original expansion proposal. So it was a good dynamic back and forth between our commission and the department that works with us and the local government in a very positive way to get to a really good outcome for that part of the state. I would urge you again, support this this budget. This is good work the department does. It does it in a lean way. It's a small staff of about 60 people, and it does it because of the great partnership with our local governments. Thank you very much. We could answer any questions.
Oh, thank you. Any questions for?
Yes, Representative Clem.
So while I've got you here.
Fire away.
Did the commission take some action recently on the, I think of it as the Stafford Urban Reserve issue, but the Clackamas County Urban Reserve issue?
We did. There was litigation over the metro area urban and rural reserve designations, and there was a it was sent back to us with a for decision to implement a court decision that had addressed the portions of the urban and rural reserves that were not resolved in Washington County by legislative action. And what our commission did was to remand it to the local governments for some areas in Clackamas County, particularly the Stafford area, and there's some areas kind of the edge in Multnomah County, but on the edge of Washington County. And there was a concern by some of the litigants over the scope of the remand order that our commission had approved and the department had then developed in response to the action we took. So at our most recent meeting, we adopted a revised order for the scope of what went back to the local governments. So they have they were looking for a little more latitude in what they could do in response to that remand, and that was what we included in that order.
So do you feel like there's some light at the end of the tunnel, at least as it relates to Stafford, on a from a time perspective? Because I think I've got a bill up in my committee today that again wants the legislature to get involved in this, which I'm very leery to do unless we hear from all the affected parties that we're just stuck again, you know, as sort of had gotten to the place in Washington County and we're years from a solution.
Yeah, I think it's on a positive course. We've given, as I say, the most recent version of the order gives a little more latitude to the local governments. They can take a fresh run at it. I don't think this, the issues around Stafford are at the same level of concern as what drove the process in Washington County. And while as a general matter, I think it's not good for our program and for you as legislators to be asked to take to resolve a lot of local kinds of issues. They're best worked through by the local governments on the ground or in regional governments where they exist as they do in the metro area. But I thought it was a positive contribution when you folks came in and, in effect, brokered a deal among the various interests that were concerned about what had happened in Washington County. That was a positive development because it laid to rest what would have been probably a long an arduous process of controversy. I don't think the other urban and rural reserve issues around the metro area call for that same kind of solution.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Okay, and we'll move on to Ms. Bell.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Heidi Bell, and I'm the city manager for the city of Donald. And you'll have to excuse me, I've never done this before, so I didn't know that PowerPoint wasn't the norm. So I made one up for you, so I guess we'll go ahead and roll with it. I have been asked to come and discuss the city's collaboration with the DLCD to promote community and economic development. To begin, I think it is important to know where Donald is located. It's a bustling and charming town that's sandwiched between the Portland metro area and the city of Salem. Recently, outside influences have placed pressures on the city to modernize. The city of Donald is gaining momentum and has in place key leadership who support developing plans to bettering our little city. The city of Donald has unique geography that attracts both residential and business users. The city is less than 2 miles from I-5, not to mention our quick access to the cities of Portland, Salem, Wilsonville, and Woodburn for residents and business alike. These key factors make us very competitive for business growth. I want to highlight a few character traits of Donald on the next few slides to give you some background information. Our population is small, 979, and pretty small in square miles as well. Recently, the city celebrated its 100th anniversary in 2012. We have a 7-member council, and there's Mayor Nicholson, and we also have a 7-member planning commission as well. The city of Donald benefits from a higher median growth or median income than both Marion County and the state of Oregon. Our population growth is one of the biggest projections in Marion County. And it is not only bigger than Marion County, but also bigger than the state of Oregon. When I first came to Donald, I was surprised to recognize so many of the business names in that little town. GK Machine, they may be getting a lot of press right now, you may have heard of them. Propane Northwest, Valley Pacific Construction, Rich's Gun Shop and a shooting range. There's lots of manufacturing in Donald. The problem, the city of Donald is attractive to residents and business because of its incredibly low property tax rate at 87 cents per $1,000 of assessed value, which is one of the lowest in the Willamette Valley. Coupled with a population of less than 1,000 people, the city operates on a tight budget. Budgeting for wages, insurance, and utilities alone strain our budget, yet we are faced with the cost of updating old systems, plans, and department policies to comply with law. This is compounded with the problem that we only have four staff in Donald. Little time and no money are Donald's biggest problems, although we have a lot of community support, enthusiasm, and drive for positive change. Today I will share with you two ways that the DLCD has made a valuable difference in Donald, the Charette and the Technical Assistance Grant. In 2013, Angela, our DLCD regional rep, worked with me to set up a visioning workshop, which is also called a charrette. Partnering with an undergrad and graduate level class at the U of O called Green Cities, the charrette was attended by citizens, DLCD staff, city staff, U of O students, local business leaders, and other regional partners. Together, the participants worked over the course of the day to develop new ideas for redeveloping and enhancing Donald's core area. There were great ideas that came out of the event, and some of them came to fruition. One idea in particular was to make enhancements to our skate park, which consists of a basketball court and a concrete wall that separates the two. The North Marion High School's National Art Society has taken on the challenge of turning that wall into an art project that will be full of life and color. The Future Farmers of America, the FFA group at the high school, has designed a gazebo for the space, and they're utilizing some of the wood from the Wilco grain elevators that were recently torn down. The charrette was possible through a $1,000 local sponsorship from the DLCD. Thank you. I think the best success out of this program is that the DLCD is now using this as a model with other small cities in the region, not to mention that that class is fast becoming one of the most popular at the U of O. Next, I will talk about the grant collaboration between the DLCD, the COG, and RARE. Through DLCD's Technical Assistance Grant Program and in partnership with the Mid-Willamette Valley Council of Governments, the University of Oregon's Community Service Center, the City of Donald and Jervis partnered and applied for a grant to update each of the city's housing and economic elements for their comprehensive plans. In September, Ethan Stuckmeyer started working in the City of Donald. Ethan is a RARE participant from the University of Oregon's. RARE stands for Resource Assistant in Rural Environments and is a neat program for people who graduate from community planning type degrees to get involved and to make differences in governments and nonprofits. We figured that our two cities, Donald and Jervis, were so similar that one person could take on both tasks or both cities at the same time to save money and to share resources. So far, rough drafts for both the housing and the economic elements have been completed, and we are moving into the open house phases. The city now knows more about its future than ever before. These reports have already been in handy in discussions pertaining to future growth and expectations. We are now more competitive with our neighboring cities for attracting positive growth. With these reports, we can also be more supportive and conducive to developing a strong local place or business place. In summary, from Ethan's studies, we have learned the following. The population growth rate for the city of Donald exceeds the state average, and that people in Donald have an income slightly higher than the state. The city of Donald will need the following amount of acres by 2034 to meet the population demand. We will need 1.16 acres of commercially zoned land, 6 acres of industrial zoned land, and it is projected that the city will add 7 commercial jobs and 112 industrial-based jobs. However, one local business, GK Machine, is giving us feedback that they will far surpass these numbers just in the next few years. I ask the committee and the DLCD, what do we do about their land needs? The competing forces between job and business growth versus private land use versus agricultural rights seems to be bubbling up right before me and Donald. Combine that with the question of where will these workers live? How far do we want them to commute to work? Are there safe walking paths to get for the lunch break? So many questions, and without the grant programs from the DLCD, we would not be able to plan for our future, left alone. In the next month, Ethan will wrap up his reports and move on to other projects, including developing a downtown business leaders group, possibly using the Oregon Main Street program strategies, creating a farmer's market or community garden, developing a sidewalk plan, writing a grant for a parks plan, bringing a bus stop to town, creating walking paths through GIS, marketing the enterprise zone, and starting an economic development plan. This program offers so much opportunity for a student, but the value the community gets out of the partnership is a step into their potential future with a vision and a plan in hand. The City of Donald is ready to make changes, and we are reaching out to outside organizations and state agencies to help us become modern and self-reliant. The hope is that we will be able to create a unique business-friendly environment that supports industrial markets. We recently applied for a free review of our transportation system plan through the DLCD's TGM program. This is a surface-level review that will help us to understand where we are with our transportation infrastructure. Angela suggested the review, and without her involvement as our regional rep, we would not have known about that opportunity. Last Friday, we applied for a full transportation system plan update through the TGM program. This would allow the city to have a transportation system plan, which we do not have today. These types of studies can be helpful to make the city more competitive in the future and better planned. Angela was able to help edit the wording and make us a better candidate for the selection committee. I am happy to advocate for other local cities and agencies to team up and get a rare participant. So far, it has been a worthwhile investment. The City of Donald pays nothing out of pocket besides labor for Ethan's work. The DLCD supplied the grant of $70,000 for both that's for both the cities of Donald and Jervis. And Ethan is also supplemented a partial wage from that $70,000, but it's also a match grant through AmeriCorps. I think it is a worthwhile to share resources across multiple cities. In conclusion, I welcome any feedback about your thoughts and reactions to this presentation. Thank you for your time and consideration in regards to the betterment of the City of Donald. We are happy and to listen and work with all of you. I also want to thank the DLCD for the funding of the Rare Participant and their support over the last few years. The department has believed in creativity and possibilities in a small town, not to mention Angela's time, hands-on support, and kindness. Thank you.
Thank you, the presentation, the slideshow was fantastic. Thank you for putting the effort into it.
Thank you, Coach.
Behind you is John Chandler. You'll see him. He's testifying after you, and right now, after watching that, he's saying to himself, "How can I follow that?"
Oh.
So,
I have a question.
Before you go, Ms. Bell, Senator Hansel.
Thank you very much for your presentation. You mentioned the University of Oregon, so I was wondering if somebody lived in your community and went to the University of Oregon, if he'd be called a Donald Duck.
Oh.
Ouch.
I am a graduate of Daffy Duck, right? But at the local post office, there's all kinds of Donald Duck stuff in the post office.
All right,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Bell. So, and we'll call up Mr. John Chandler. And is there anybody else that would like to testify on this and sit next to Mr. Chandler?
That's a negative. Okay.
No.
In the protest for somewhere.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Chandler, the non-moving target at this morning's hearing. With the Oregon Home Builders Association, appreciate the time. I should point out also I am a resident of Greater Donald personally. I live in Butteville, which is an unincorporated community about 3 miles north of Donald. But I've been watching what's been going on down there, and it really has been fun to see. With regard to work groups, just for the record, I've tried this in several committees. It hasn't worked, but I'd just like to state unofficially, unequivocally, I am unavailable, busy, and occupied for any work groups that might be dreamt up by any of you on any context whatsoever. And if that putting a King's X like that on the record isn't sufficient, I don't know what else to do. By way of background, the Oregon Home Builders Association has been a supporter of the land use program in Oregon. A lot of folks are surprised by this since its inception. We often like to say that we didn't start going to church when it first opened up, but we got there in time for the collection plate to be passed. Fred Benatta, my immediate predecessor in this position, many of you know Mr. Benatta, was active in the adoption of Senate Bill 100 along with Mr. McPherson's father. We didn't always agree, haven't always agreed with the department, but do believe that the program has been helpful for the state on balance, and consider ourselves part of the loyal opposition, both of those words being operative most of the time. And as a result, we've generally speaking, I can't think of a time in my experience that we've come in and opposed their budget, and I'm not doing so this morning. I think this program, as with the other natural resource agencies, is historically dramatically underfunded relative to the amount of effort they're expected to expend, and the amount of political controversy that those agencies, whether it be DLCD, DSL, DEQ, any of the rest of the natural resource side, they may be a small sliver of the state general fund budget or the state budget period, but they draw 90-some-odd percent of the political controversy. And not just on this budget, but on others, you'll hear me say this, I really do believe this legislature is doing better than it has done, but still dramatically short of what ought to be, given the level of the political sphere that those agencies tend to occupy. The state needs to back that with state money and not just user fees or other sorts of one-offs, but put in the general fund where the state's collective mouth is. That said, with regard to DLCD, I mentioned we're the loyal opposition, and we are. We believe that the program's important. We have historically and continue to think they need to spend more time on the second D of the name, is the Department of Land Conservation and Development. We tend to think they skew a little bit towards the conservation side and aren't shy about pointing that out when we believe that's happening. We think that the land use system's success, and during the presentation that Director Rue and Assistant Director McLaren put on for you, there's some real success stories in there. If you look at how we have done in Oregon compared to other states, particularly our neighboring states, but if you look across the country, we have proven that you can have a strong land use program, you can protect farm and forest land, you can have a vibrant housing environment, you can have a healthy economy. The secret there, though, isn't the goals or the plans or the agencies or the anything else. It's the balance that we have struck here. And that balance is critical, and where we get to go and argue with the agency and the department tends to be when that balance gets out of whack. We think that it's critical to remember, and we point this out to them on a frequent basis, that the planning is part of the equation. Planning sans implementation is just a pretty set of pictures. If we can't, in the private sector development side, can't finance, build, and sell something, be it a commercial structure, a house, or anything else, if we can't finance, build, and sell it, it doesn't matter what gets planned. That the plan is effective if and only if it's implementable on the ground. Historically, we've been able to do that. We continue to hold the department accountable, and I think hopefully in a professional and collegial way, to make sure that balance is maintained going forward. We also believe, and this is something else we've been not shy about, that they tend to favor process over outcomes. Most state agencies do. Most agencies do. Most local governments do. Most bureaucracies of any sort, private or public, do. Process is easier. Outcomes are hard. Process, you can keep going. Process, at some point, you have to actually do something. And that obviously is where people get mad. If you're just talking, no one gets mad. They just get bored and wander off, hence the objection to work groups. But I think that at the nice try, Representative Clem. At the end of the day, though, this has been a successful program for the state of Oregon, for the citizens. And I really do commend that PowerPoint to you. I hope you were here and able to watch it. If not, I hope you will go back and look at it in the committee records. And I hope you'll tell your constituents about it. When you look at our rate of population growth in this state relative to other states and our level of urban utilization in this state, we've done very, very well. I'm not sure we need to double down on that, but I do think we need to claim that as a success. And the important part of any policy is recognizing when it's had its desired outcome. And I think we have done that here, and demonstrably so. With regard to the budget, You've heard about the 19 statewide goals. I will not rattle through them. This agency, in addition to those 19 statewide goals, which pretty much cover the entire policy waterfront, no pun intended, within the state of Oregon, is now being asked to take a stab at climate change, which is a dauntingly complex issue, natural hazard planning and mitigation, which is equally, if not more complex, because it actually has on-the-ground impacts today, not at some point in the future. And I don't want to get in the middle of Director Rue's business, but the budget in front of you is, I would suggest, a bare minimum of what they need. It is folly to pretend that you can do everything from farmland to forest land to urban development to housing to natural resources to coastal zones and so on and so forth through those 19 and do it adequately with a 60-person staff and a paltry amount of money. I'm not suggesting that the budget ought to be rejected on that basis. I do suggest that when it comes time for the big discussions on where money gets spent in the state, that this is every bit as important as some of the other ones in front of you, if not more so, and particularly more in light of the fact that it historically has been underfunded. With regard to the grants, you heard from local governments. I just want to echo their support for the grants. And with one thing that they perhaps wouldn't want to say, I will. Most of the complexity that those grants are designed to implement to help the local governments fight through the good work in Donald and elsewhere, most of the complexity is caused by the state. It's state rules, it's state regulations, it's state policies, it's state laws that you all have adopted. Because it comes from the state, I think it's only fair the state pony up. And I don't see that as local governments asking for a handout. I think that's part of the partnership that has been implicitly established, a partnership that one side imposes rules and then tells the other one, go figure out how to do it. That's not much of a partnership at all. And I think what we have here and what we've been able to historically get is that balance again between what the state thinks it needs statewide and then how that gets played out into the local level. Local governments, particularly coming out of this recession, as I'm sure you've heard in other contexts, every local government is shredded financially. They need at least this grant money, if not more, in order to do the work that the state has asked them to perform, that we collectively have asked them to perform. So with that, Mr. Chair, members, I commend the budget to you. I commend the agency to you. I think they're doing good work, reserving, of course, the right to go in and gripe at them when I think they aren't. But by and large, I think this agency has done the state of Oregon proud, and I hope you'll pass this budget and look for extra money where you can find it. Thank you. Be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler. Are there any questions? All right, we're going to let you off easy just for Thank today. You. Is there anybody else who would like to testify and not sit next to Mr. Chandler? Okay. Seeing nobody, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and adjourn the meeting. And actually, before we do that, Director Rue, would you like to come back up and add anything additional?
It's an opportunity to say no.
Thank you, Co-Chair Rayfield. What John said.
Okay. Thank you very much. So with that, we'll go ahead, close the public hearing, and adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
As usual, what John said.